Hello, everybody. This is Peter from Farmington, Michigan. Shout-outs to Phil, Mickey, Jerry, and Dieter. I use an HTC Evo preceded by a Palm Pre, preceded by several Palm Treos, preceded by the mother of all smartphones, the progenitor of the mobile phone lineage we now enjoy here on the Android Central podcast. Yes, friends, bow your head out of respect for the Handspring Treo 300. Black and white, and so damn big that if you could even get it into your pocket, it would pull your pants down. Booyah!
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 59 for Thursday, May 26, 2011.
That's a lot of 20s.
It's a lot of 20s. I am Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this podcast, which is off to an inauspicious start, apparently. And I am the host of the podcast and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. And what else am I? Am I a good guy this week? Do we like me this week, or am I about to get yelled at?
Oh, you'll probably get yelled at, but that's okay.
All right, that is Jerry Hildenbrand. He is one of the writers at the site.
Howdy, everyone.
And we have Mickey Papillon. You know him as the cell phone junkie.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back tonight, as always.
So, let's just do some announcements first, shall we? So, first off, no podcast next week. Saying it now, I'll say it later. No podcast. Because we will actually be in New York City doing our live event. So, for the 500 people who are going to be there, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait to meet people. It's going to be very cool. We're going to go away some shirts. I'm bringing some shirts. I'm bringing some stickers. Should I bring anything else? What should I bring? What phone should I take to this? So I was thinking about this. I've got
the Revolution.
I'll have the Revolution. I'll take that. Well, no, I'm not going to take that. See, that's the problem. It's a Samsung event, sort of, right? Like it's kind of their thing. So I don't want to take all these devices, but I know people are going to want to see stuff.
Infuse.
Yes,
charge.
I can take the Infuse and get away with that. I sent the charge back. I don't have the charge anymore. I'm a little sad about that, actually. Sigh. Mickey, what phones do you have now? Because you're occasionally reviewing stuff. Do you have any?
You know what? I've got nothing in for review. I sent back the Galaxy S4G a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And I think I need to check out the Revolution next. That's one of the ones that I've been kind of watching. I feel like we're at this crossroads right now of not getting a phone that's got every single thing right on it, you know? I mean, the ones that have Gingerbread, you know, don't necessarily have, you know, don't always have 4G. And the ones that have 4G maybe don't have dual core. And the ones that have dual core have got, you know, not a QHD display. And so I'm still kind of looking at all these devices, you know, very skeptically and going, when are we going to see the device, the one that everybody must have?
Yeah, in fact, let's just get into it. I was going to talk about this later, but let's start off with this. So we have all these new devices coming out, and we'll break them down in a second. But, I mean, and this isn't a new phenomenon, but they're all missing, like, one, you know, thing that would just make it badass and better than every other device out there. And I don't know why. I mean, there are always trade-offs, right? You can't fit everything into a case, or it would cost too much. But, damn, some of these phones are just so close. And it's killing me. I mean, Jerry, like, what is the one phone you want that, you know, like, the one phone you see and you want, and you're like, damn, I have to have that phone, except?
The Sensation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not a guy that's worried about 4G and stuff, mostly because where I live, I'm not going to see it. But, you know, I have issues with the bootloader. And I have issues with a couple other things, but I think right now that's the phone that's really just tickling my fancy. But like you said, it's lacking in some areas.
Yeah, I mean, Mickey, you mentioned the Revolution, and the, you know, one or two things that everybody says about this is, okay, it doesn't have dual core, or my thing, I can live without dual core right now, but my other thing is it's all binged up.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know what my thing is about dual core, but I just feel like, you know, we've been talking about it now for, you know, 4 or 5 months, and it's something that is the, you know, the future, the 2011 spec four processors. And I know it's not everything. I know the Thunderbolt is a fast phone and that's a single core, but, I really wish we could get these devices so that they're optimized to be able to take advantage of, you know, a piece of hardware that's out there and, to do it in a way that all the manufacturers can take advantage of. Right. And yeah, I get it that it's, there's certain things you can't fit everything into a case, but come on, you know, we're seeing some really good ones. I think someone mentioned the Evo 3D has got pretty much everything, but it's on Sprint, and Sprint doesn't work for everybody. I've, you know, Sprint is the one carrier for me that it doesn't work at my house really well at all. I'm down to 1x usually with it. So the three, not only is the 3G lost, the 4G lost to me, so is the 3G. And it doesn't work really well, for me at my office either. So that's not a good option. So, but yeah, so the Bing side of it. So tell me a little bit more about that, because I guess I hadn't really thought about that.
Okay. So it's the same as we had on the Fascinate. The Verizon merge back when it existed was supposed to be Binged up. Isn't the gym, doesn't it have Bing? I think.
Yes.
There's some other, like, low phone that kind of nobody has. So they've swapped out some of the Google services. The big one is search. So when you push the search button, you get Bing instead of Google. To me, that's worse than, you know, Google Maps you can put back on it. But missing Bing search is kind of a big deal. Or missing Google search is kind of a big deal, right? You get an Android phone, you expect to have Google search, period.
Or an option.
Or an option. Right, you don't even get an option.
Yeah, that's what kills me.
You know, we've talked about this before. I think it was some bad business deal that Verizon got itself into, and I hope that you know, at some point they just nuke it and it's done.
Yeah, it's good for their bottom line, and let's be honest, Phil. You know, most of the people buying a new phone today, if they hit the search button and it searches and it finds it, they don't care.
Yeah.
Right, and
I've got most of my staff uses MSN for their searching because that's what is the homepage on our computers, right?
And that proves what I just said. If people are still using MSN, they don't care as long as they get results.
Now it still has Gmail. Yep. It still has, you know, the Android market on it. So it's not like it's. And I am not going to use the word crippled. I hate it when people call phones crippled. It works just fine. If you don't know any better, you know, you're going to get along just fine. And you know what? Bing Maps are actually pretty damn good. If you've never used Bing Maps, especially on a desktop, they have some really cool stuff. They had the kind of the 45-degree look down long before Google Maps ever did. And in fact, I have it here where I live, so I can see into my neighbor's backyards. It's really cool. Yeah, so there's actually a lot of cool, you know, Bing stuff. Oh, yeah, and Puka Core mentions in the chat room, I want Bing Vision for Android. Did you guys see any of the Microsoft stuff this week? I helped the guys at WP Central covered a little bit earlier. So they got their Mango update.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so they have this Bing Vision thing, which is like Google Goggles, only awesome. Instead of just some, yeah, I joke that it made it look like a bunch of engineers designed Google Goggles, and it kind of does. But it's like you're looking, you see the results as you still see what it's scanning, and it's sexy. God, I mean, I really do love the Windows Phone UI, and you know, before anybody freaks out, I said that a long time ago, so calm down. But no, I mean, Microsoft can do some really good stuff, but keep it on a Microsoft phone. Don't put it on Android. And that's what kills me about whatever deal that Verizon got itself into. I have a feeling that deal's going to expire, whether it's Verizon deciding it needs to expire or Google deciding it needs to expire. But I think it's not going to be a problem at some point, I'm willing to bet.
So one of the other devices that's kind of got my attention right now is this Droid X2, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the size from, what, 2 years or a year ago when it first came out is now kind of mainstream, you know? It used to be this monster. And
and what we have now is exactly the same as last year, right?
Yeah, except did they take the camera button off?
Yes, the camera button is gone, and I've read a couple things. I've had one person told me it was to cram in the Tegra 2. Tegra 2 need a little more space. And then, was it Kendrick or his former counterpart? Man, drawing a blank here. JK on the Run, the other guy.
Oh, Kevin Tolvo.
Kevin, thank you. No, it was Kevin. Posted a link today to another post that said it was basically to get rid of the shutter lag, which I'm not sure I believe that. I don't know. I mean, yeah, on one hand, how much space could the camera button take up? I don't know. But it does take up something. But to get rid of shutter lag, I'm not sure I buy that, because I just watched Microsoft make a bunch of really good phones with really, really incredible shutter time. And not just shutter time, but like push a button, launches the camera app, and you've taken a picture within like 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's the best thing about Windows Phone is that you don't have to turn the phone on to use the camera.
And until you use that, like, you won't believe it. And it's been, you know, 8 months since I've used it, but it was pretty incredible. Yeah, so it's missing that. What else is it missing?
4G.
Mm.
Yeah, which, hey, a lot of people, that doesn't matter. Jerry just said it. You know, he doesn't care about 4G. I am in a hotbed of LTE from Verizon here, and it is... I will not buy a Verizon phone. I'm just waiting for the device to come out on Verizon that I can, that I'll invest my money in, that can give me 4G, but also checks all those other boxes. And I was like, oh, the Droid X2, it's close. And then I was like, oh no, 4G. All right. It's out. And really I'm totally discarding a really great phone because of one feature, but it happens to be one of the big ones.
That's a tough call. I mean, for my money, if I had to choose between 4G and dual core, I would choose 4G, I think. On a phone, I will need the data speed more than I will need whatever graphics power you get from it. And, you know, so, I use a dual core tablet. I have 2 dual core tablets here, and I love them. But I never have not once wanted to hook my phone up to a TV, so I don't need that. You know, what else does it do? That's it.
Okay. So let me ask you. So you choose 4G over dual core, but then do you choose TouchWiz over Sense just because the charge is, you know, got some of the other things that, you know, that the Thunderbolt doesn't, but, you know, or do you still go with the Thunderbolt?
You know, I've actually put, ADW EX on, what am I running on? I'm running it on Thunderbolt. And I think I had put it on the charge for a while. I was using the charge. So I'm kind of to the point where, and remember one, you know, Jerry, wasn't it like a year ago? I was like, don't put launchers on things. It'll slow them down.
Yeah. Well, they did back then.
Yeah. And back then they did. But now, now I'm all for the launchers. No, I'm okay. Like putting a skin over something. I'm perfectly fine with that now.
So Tech 10 in the chat room says I'm looking for the Bionic. Yeah, I am.
Well, maybe.
When is it coming?
Well, and here's the thing. The Bionic that is coming, and I might have more news on that tomorrow, I hope. You know, nobody has touched the Bionic that is coming. The one that we used back at CES is gone. It's done.
Still has Moto Blur on it though, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm sure it does, yeah.
Yeah, so
but the new Blur isn't, look, the new Blur isn't horrible. I've still got that leaked gingerbread ROM on a my Droid X here. Oh my god, I miss this phone. Every time I pick it up, I'm like, I really want to use it, but I can't now because it doesn't have LTE. No, the new the new skin isn't horrible, but again, just put a launcher on it.
So low chef. I guess that's chef says, who cares about 4G if you're on Wi-Fi all day? Because my Wi-Fi is DSL and 4G is like, you know, a cable modem. So, there would be no more 4G in my life, you know? I mean, no more Wi-Fi in my life during the day if I had a 4G device.
I'm on Wi-Fi all day here, but as soon as I leave the house, I just, you know, it's night and day. I'm fine on 3G. I can still live on 3G, by the way. But, damn, once you got LTE, it's nice. Hey, speaking of 3G, guess what happened here today? Guess what happened?
4G in Pensacola. No, T-Mobile's got 3G.
Yes. I got 4G here a week ago. So a week after Verizon lights up LTE in Pensacola, T-Mobile apparently turns on 3G.
Nice.
I don't think I'll be switching to T-Mobile anytime soon, though, just for a number of reasons. But
I know. Isn't that sad, too? I mean, we're talking about a company that still has, probably a year before we're going to see any sort of real changes happen to it, and at least subconsciously I almost discard them as a company now. I see new phones come out and I'm like, dead man walking, you know. Like, you're not, this is it's going to be a good device for a full year, but I still go, it's going to be an AT&T device here before too long. And if they pull out that 3G or the AWS spectrum and start, you know, using it for LTE, that's going to cause issues for people. So
If they do that, if they do that under contract, they're just going to have to provide you a new phone or let you walk.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. No, they'll take care of you. I've seen all these posts like people freaking out. You know what's going to happen? They'll take care of you.
I'm not worried, and I'm pretty much stuck between Sprint, which works well where I live, but not where I play, or T-Mobile, which may disappear in a year. But you know, I go with the merger. As long as I continue to get at least as good service as I have, you know, if I've got to pay $10 more a month, I don't care. I'm over it. Just do something. Just make sure I don't get a degradation of service.
So let's actually talk about some of these new devices. So I've got the Revolution here. That just came out today. So Verizon had a trio of phones come out today. We've been talking about the Revolution. Really short version. Like it a lot. It's not too big. It's like kind of the perfect weight. You know, it's not too light for its size. It's a little thick. It's actually a little taller than the Thunderbolt, which was surprising. But it doesn't feel horrible in the hand. So we got that. The Xperia Play is out. Our man Andrew up in New York has one. He's sending one down to me. So I'll get to play with that some more. And then we have the X2, which I have sent up to another Andrew in New York. because really, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's exactly the same phone. Exactly. Except for dual core, higher res screen. And I wished I'd played with a higher res screen more. I know people are making a huge deal about QHD, and I will never turn down a higher res screen. But even just, like, it didn't make that big a difference to me.
You want to talk a little bit about this HTC thing that just came out?
Yeah.
Let me read this. It says, there's been an overwhelming customer feedback that people want access to open bootloaders and HTC phones. I want you to know that we've listened today. I'm confirming. This is Peter Chow. We'll no longer be locking our bootloaders on our devices. Thanks for your passion, support, and patience. There you go.
Wow. Wow. Yep. Wow. Jerry, if nobody picks up this story in the next 2 minutes, you're going to take a minute off the podcast and go right. Okay. Well, let's talk bootloaders. So, well, you know, here's the thing. Jerry and I were talking earlier this week, and I was like, you know what? People are going to get pissed. They're going to get pissed when they hear what I have to say about this. And what I say is going to be hypocritical, and they're going to be mad, and I'm going to get hate mail. But it's the way I feel about it. So, in some of this I've said before, right? I understand kind of why, you know, you would need, not necessarily need, but want a locked bootloader. You know, HTC works hard on these phones. And if you've ever sat in a room with any of them, they are all as passionate as anyone you've ever met about the work they're doing. And that goes from the engineers that, you know, I've met to the design people to the PR people, right? They love that company. They love what they're doing. They love Sense. And so I can see as a company making a strategic decision to, hey, we've got our phones. We have the ability to kind of lock it down so people can't mess with it too much. And, you know, that comes in the form of a locked bootloader. Go buy a dev phone. You want an unlocked bootloader, go buy a developer phone. If you want, like, the challenge of trying to crack one of these things open, which I totally respect and totally agree with, I think it's awesome to be able to crack open your phone. I was cracking open HTC, you know, Windows mobile phones, you know, years ago, right? Very cool, very fun, and it's, you know, that's part of the game. I understand that. But, you know, another phone came out, and it, oh my God, it has a, you know, locked bootloader. Well, no kidding. So did the 5 before it, and so will the next 5, right? That's not news. News is when the bootloaders are unlocked, and that's where we're at now. So we've already seen Sony Ericsson do it, right? They have a tool that lets you unlock a couple current phones, not many, and nothing we really have here in the States yet. But at least they had some movement, and if anybody needed to do it, it was Sony Ericsson, right? But yeah, so now let me read this again. This has been overwhelmingly, there has been overwhelmingly customer, yeah, the grammar's as bad as my speaking. There's been overwhelming customer feedback that people want access to open bootloaders on HTC phones. I want you to know that we've listened. Today I'm confirming that we will no longer be locking the bootloaders on our devices. Thanks for your passion, support, and patience. Peter Chow, CEO of HTC. So, I think it's a good move. Here's why I think it's a good move for HTC. The number of people who really want to hack into their phones, which is, I assume, what do you want to say, 60% of the people listening to this podcast?
Right. Yeah. I'll buy that. Easy.
Okay. So that's awesome.
And that makes us think that we're the majority.
Right. But we're not. And look, you know, that little rant I just had a minute ago, you know, I'm probably already getting hate mail. I see my inbox climbing. Look, I like hacking phones. I think it's good. But, you know, these companies have every right in the world to lock the bootloaders if they want to. And there's a way to go. There's a way to go about telling them how you feel about it. You know, a petition is one thing, fine. You know, it's not going to change everything. You know, but bombing Facebook like everybody did, letting them know on Twitter, writing emails, you know, that's the way to do it. I'm not going to write a blog post on every phone that comes out. It's got a locked bootloader. You know, that's just the way it is. So no, I think they almost went about it right. And, you know, HTC listened, and that's pretty darn cool. And I think, you know, it was a really good move. Nope. Hate mail. Got it already. Phil, you dumb son of a... No, I'm kidding. Actually, it's all...
it's all HTC. Mine.
Yeah, it's all HTC stuff. All right, Jerry's going to go right, so Mickey and I are going to talk for a minute.
Yes, you all talk without me.
Okay. So, like, back in the day, Mickey, you did Winmo stuff, too. And we had, right. Hard SPL, and we could unlock things left and right. But it seems like... I hate to say a simpler time, because I'm really not that old man-ish, but it was kind of a simpler time. And, I mean, it was just expected. Right? The stuff was locked down. We had to hack it open. And at some point, I mean, maybe we were... Have we been spoiled by deaf phones? Is that it?
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe. But see, but I look at all the devices that are out there today, and I mean, this is clearly a... Most of these are consumer plays, right? I mean, it's just a... They're trying to... Look at Verizon's Droid branding, number one. I mean, this is... It's funny. When I saw the first Charge commercial, and they said it's the first Droid with 4G... And I thought, well, wait a second, guys, what about the Thunderbolt? And I said, oh, yeah, that wasn't one of their Droid-branded phones. But, you know, to us, it doesn't – we understand that it's the same operating system, but they totally marketed them differently. And so most of the Android devices that are out there are certainly ones that are being designed and manufactured and then sold for – with the general consumer in mind, where I think you're absolutely right. If you want a device – that you can hack and you can do things on. Some of the manufacturers are better than others when it comes to the bootloaders, but you get a dev phone. You go get a Nexus if that's what you're really looking to do. Otherwise, you're stuck with what's available. But the manufacturers don't care and the carriers don't care because the carriers aren't trying to sell to this minority of people who are buying these phones. When you've got 36%
right.
of the smartphone market share now is on Android devices. That's not just the geeks. This is mainstream. These are people that are buying these phones because they want a good smartphone experience and not because they want to hack it and, you know, put their Cyanogen Nightlies on it.
We talked about it last week. I mean, these things are big ships to steer, and I almost want to apologize for saying things were starting to get a little whiny about the locked bootloaders, but I'm not gonna because I think they were. But look at the numbers, right? I mean, Cyanogen Mod is on something, let's be generous and say probably... You know, 500,000 devices by now. And if not, it's probably getting close. And I think that's awesome. I am a huge fan of CyanogenMod. And I'm a big fan of hacking these things, too. I absolutely am. But, you know, make no mistake, we are the minority. We are absolutely the mm-hmm. minority. Even if CyanogenMod is on 1 million devices, say by the end of the year, you know, that's 3 days worth of Android activations right there. That's it. 3 days.
Yeah.
Right, they're activating more than 400,000 Android devices daily. So, and you can't.
And how many total? 200 million now? Is that what we're up to?
Oh, I forget what the number is, but yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're talking about 36 million Android devices were sold in the first quarter alone. So, I mean, these are big numbers. These are totally impressive. You know, overshadowing everything else that's happening. Out there, and it is. I don't see any way around a manufacturer creating a device that is nothing but focused on the consumer. This is what they do.
No, and I'm pretty sure what HTC will do is leave in the mechanism that you basically have now, fast boot OEM unlock. Right, you don't want to leave these things completely open. If anybody follows Paul O'Brien on Twitter, he has like a Hawaii Ascend or something, some Hawaii phone, and basically you plug it in and have like if you plugged it into Windows, you would have just file access to the images on the phone itself, and you're really not supposed to have that. And you know, there are security implications here at some point too, right? I mean, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they'll probably do is give you the option. I don't think they're just going to, you know, flat out totally open things up. So, and that's fine too. That's the way it should work.
So, I mean, but what do you, in your mind though, who's been the best about this so far? I guess I don't follow it close enough. I mean, obviously HTC's announcement here is big, but up until then, who's been the best?
Google? Yeah.
Well,
I mean, clearly. Seriously, like nobody's been the best.
Samsung?
It's not been an well, okay, yeah, that's not true. Like LG has been fairly open and Samsung. And that's like not so much about being open or being unlocked, and they're certainly more open than the others and more unlocked. Yeah. No, I just totally like walked over that. Yeah, Samsung and LG.
Okay.
HTC has been actively locking things down with the crypto stuff. Motorola's been doing it for a while too. So there's my next question: is Motorola going to back off its stance? And everybody acts like it's a political thing, and it's not political. They don't hate hackers, I don't think. And you know what? HTC doesn't hate hackers. I've asked HTC. Go back to a year ago, you know, talking to Eric Lin, you know, and the things they see people do all the way back in the Winmo days, right? They think it's cool to see what people can do with their hardware. I don't think it's a political thing. They don't hate nerds. They don't hate hackers. But, yeah, I just don't know if Motorola's going to do it.
Hmm. I'd love the Motorola hardware, though. It's some of my favorite out there. And I wish... I've had such bad experiences with the devices that I've had in Moto Blur in the last... 6 months or so, and it totally throws me off, and I'm concerned about the Bionic for that. A lot of people are saying, okay, it's going to be, you just said that, right? It's going to be better.
Yeah.
Or
different anyway.
Yeah. I guess until I see it, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I buy it, but I really hope that what we see going forward is we're seeing, we're going to see some changes. Obviously, we saw Ice Cream Sandwich last show or the one before that, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different things that are going to be happening with these devices, with this melding of the hopefully all the devices that are out there now being able to run on this One OS, and I'm sincerely hope that that can take some of this fragmentation between the skins and make it not as big of a deal, or at least make it more customizable for those that want to customize it. And then we can find, a happy medium for most people. Most people will be happy then with the devices that they have, versus, I'm not going to buy that Motorola device because I have to deal with Moto Blur, which is, I kind of hear that a lot undertones of that for sure.
All right. So we don't know what Moto is going to do. We also don't know what this means for current devices, right? We don't know if the Sensation will be able to be unlocked at some point via a firmware update. It might well, but I don't know. Because that, again, we talk about how updates, cost time and money, and so will re-engineering something like that. So I don't know. It would be awesome if HTC had some magic switch it could flip and suddenly all other phones could be open. But I'm not willing to bet on that, so we'll see. So we still have questions, and we will be asking many questions, I'm sure. And hopefully we'll get some answers. But exciting news live during the podcast for those of you listening recorded later. Well, probably not quite as exciting, but there you go. So let's move on.
Talk about the flyer.
Yeah, all right. So you want to talk about the flyer? So I actually picked it up.
Back in time for the flyer.
Hey, Jerry's back. Jerry just finished writing up the bootloader thing. Sweet. You're not going to make me edit it during the podcast, are you?
No, it's up.
Okay,
it's
good.
It's fine. It's up. I've been writing since I was 14 or 15.
Damn. Ouch. All right, so I've got the flyer here. And the flyer has a locked bootloader. No. I'm sure it has a locked bootloader. I want to love this thing. I really do. I just can't quite do it. I can't quite bring myself to...
What?
I know. It's killing me, too, because I really do. All right, so the Flyer, if you don't know, it's a 7-inch gingerbread tablet. It's not Honeycomb. And it's so weird going from Honeycomb to this intermediate size now. So, yeah, it's basically, I hate to call it like a big smartphone OS on here, because it's a new Sense, it's a new version of Sense. It's not the 3.0 that we see in the Sensation. It's kind of in between. But and it's really good. It's a good launcher. It's a good UI. But it's not Honeycomb, and it still just feels like a smartphone to me, and that's kind of unfortunate and really not fair. But, yeah. So you've still got your giant HTC clock, and maybe that's what's throwing me off. If you haven't seen the hands-on, go watch it. Weather on here is just beautiful, gorgeous, but I'm not sure that's enough to make me use it. The big thing about the Flyer is its note-taking implementation, right? So it has this little stylus.
Yes.
And no, it does not come with the stylus at Best Buy, which is unfortunate.
Boo!
But that's the way
ridiculous.
It is.
Ridiculous. That makes me madder than other things we're going to talk about.
Ooh, really? Because I just
yes.
lashed out at people.
it just feels so wrong.
Yeah.
I don't even care. $80, if I'm spending $500, you know, chances are I can afford to spend $580. I'm not crying about the price, although it is expensive. It just feels wrong to tout its best feature and then not include what you need to use that feature.
It's, all right, so note taking, it has really deep Evernote integration, which is awesome if you use Evernote. Do you guys see where I'm going with this? I don't use Evernote.
You don't use Evernote?
I don't take notes, and maybe it's because I was a bad student, but I'm just not a note
taker. Do we need
to
go back to my Evernote conversation?
No, don't.
From like
please.
A year ago. Can I tell you some of the amazing things you can do with Evernote?
And you can write down the dimensions for your air conditioner filter and always have them in your pocket.
That's right. You can do that. And your bike tire size. So when you need to buy new tubes,
right.
You're ready to go.
I am a convert. Complete.
So, like, it's a good size. I like 7 inches. This thing's a little too heavy and a little too thick. And I blame Samsung for that. Samsung has spoiled me.
I didn't have a lot of time with the Flyer, but I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Like, after you use the Galaxy Tab 10.1, you're going to be spoiled for a lot of stuff, but especially for this. And that's unfortunate, because HTC actually has done a really nice device here. But, yeah, it's too heavy and too thick. Period.
Mm.
Sorry.
I just want to be able to draw pictures on it. I want to be able to open the live page here for the podcast mm-hmm. and draw little mustaches on Phil and Mickey.
Oh, well, and you can do that.
Why can't you just buy an inking application for $2 and use a capacitive pen to do
and that's kind of the thing.
That's not as cool and nerdy as having the fancy pen.
Yeah, okay. But, this is what I do. I've got a capacitive stylus pen thing, and I use that on the, on the screen of the iPad with a, with an application that takes notes, and that's how I take all my notes. I haven't used a notebook in now 3 weeks, I think. It's great. Now I like the idea of having this deep Evernote integration because of what everything I have in there, but I don't know if that makes it that appealing where I'm ready to make the switch.
I want to like it. I want to love it. I really do. Cause I know, and maybe it's because I sat through HTC's presentation on it in Spain, but man, I don't need a note-taking device. That's my thing. I have an aversion to taking notes. Always have. Refuse to take it. I'm a horrible note-taker because I don't do it. And therefore, I don't need the Flyer. Although, God, the weather is beautiful on here. If I need to, you know what I want to use this for? I want HTC to sell its weather app. I would buy it. You know how I was complaining about how SBB Shell 3D is like $16 or whatever? I would pay $16 for HTC's weather app on Honeycomb tablet of size. sitting next to my desk.
I can see that. Oh, it is really neat. Yeah.
It really is, and it has like cool sound effects. yeah, I mean, otherwise, it's a 7-inch tablet, I guess, with really cool note-taking integration. I say and that. I sound sad when I say that because I am. I want to love it.
Well, there's lots to love.
Yeah.
You have to, I guess, really know. If you have to convince yourself, maybe you shouldn't. I'll shut up now.
I'm not going to buy one. Sorry. Just the way it is. I'm sad. Now that's
See,
sad.
Now you're making me not want to buy one.
Yeah, but see, that said, I absolutely know that ACC is going to come out with a really cool Honeycomb tablet, and I'll probably be like,
sure
I want that. I must have
sure
it.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know.
Just include the pen, HTC. That way I'll...
yeah. Anything else on the flyer? Should we let Jerry rant for a minute, since I already had my rant for the night?
Oh, Jerry's in a good mood. I don't even want to rant anymore.
We got to talk about streaming and DRM for a minute. Especially because Netflix just came out with an update that brought its application to the original Droid and
the LG Revolution.
Yeah. The Calzone.
The Calzone.
The Commando.
The Commando. How did that get it before, like, the Thunderbolt?
Hey, that's a neat phone, man. Don't X. knock that phone.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Jerry, come on.
Please. Hey!
No.
I kind of want
no.
one of them.
No.
I could, like, use it to drive tent stakes and stuff with whenever I go deep sea diving. But, no, I know exactly what you're saying. You know, Thunderbolt doesn't get it, and Calzone does get it. What are they smoking at Netflix?
Okay, so, but there were some bug fixes, too, and I think one of these is incredibly interesting. The check that prevented the playback on unsupported devices was removed.
Yeah, and yep. we've been getting emails that, like, basically, if you have the APK that's not in the market, because, like, I still uh-huh. can't see it on the market on my Thunderbolt, right? But if you just have the APK laying around, it doesn't check to see if the phone's supposed to be able to use it.
So you're pretty much good to go now with it if you can.
It's like a total day of openness.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't work on Honeycomb yet. And that's...
Ah, damn it. Sad. Dude, you're bringing me down.
Well, I mean, that's crazy. I don't.
Which is the place you want the Netflix
right.
application?
Oh my gosh,
on the
so
tablet.
Bad. I want
and
so
something.
Bad.
None of the streaming services work with Honeycomb.
Yeah.
So that tells me that maybe there's a business decision going on behind the scenes.
Not quite ready.
They're probably pissed about Google Movies.
Well, they're not the only ones.
No, Jerry. Why are you upset about Google Movies?
Because Google gives you an option on your Motorola Zoom to unlock it, and they made a big deal about, hey, look, you can unlock the bootloader and use this however you want, and don't tell you that if you do that, it deletes a bunch of files, and you'll never be able to download movies from their new service unless you reflash and close the thing. Ridiculous. If I can think of a better way to do it, the geniuses out in California can think of a better way to do it. I think that's just plain lazy. And I'm done. I mean, that's my whole big problem. I understand DRM. I understand, yeah, you have to do something because, you know, most people aren't going to unlock their Zoom. Right. Most people just want to rent movies, and Google has to cater to most people. But don't be so sneaky and lazy.
Why do we get hate mail? I'm still confused. You got hate mail. I got hate mail for something
oh,
you wrote,
man.
And I wasn't even here.
That's right. You were in a complete other state, and people mailed you to tell you how much they hate me.
That's what
and that's
when
fine.
I take a day off.
hate me if you want, but you know, I just want you to think for a minute. There's plenty of other ways this could have got solved, and I just don't like the way it was solved. Not one little bit.
Like, on principle, I guess I'm against, and I'm torn on this, and whatever I say is going to sound backwards and hypocritical, I think. But, like, on one hand, yeah, I hate DRM, it's stupid, I just want to buy something, I want it to work, period. But, you know, Apple's been able to make movies work, right? And it helps, I think.
On jailbroken iPads, too.
Yeah, and on jailbroken devices.
It works just fine.
That's true. Now, that said, I think they've got it a little easier that they literally have, what, like two hardware, you know, devices to deal with?
Yeah,
and we have 200, you know, so that creates problems unto itself. But man, yeah. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. Between, like, Blockbuster is like, yeah, you're rooted, screw you. You know, Netflix appeared to be that way, but maybe not now. Google Movies, you know, if you're rooted, no, which really makes no sense because, yeah. Something's got to be done. It's like we take, you know, one step forward, two steps back.
I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with DRM. You know, I don't like it, but I can understand why they want it. I don't know. There's so many better ways to solve these problems.
God, these bootloader headlines are driving me nuts, by the way. I'm watching them roll in.
Oh,
score one
on.
For the good guys? Really? I mean, what's everybody else? Sigh.
Well, you know what? I'm really glad that it happened. Yeah. And I'm really glad for everybody on Sprint that was questioning whether or not they wanted the Evo 3D. But I'll be more than glad. I'll be happy when they tell me that here's an OTA for the Dink 2 that unlocks the bootloader.
Right. And that's – I hate to get back on it because Mickey and I wasted 15 minutes trying to talk about it. But we don't know what's – again, we don't know what's going to happen to current devices. You know, they're basically right. Saying from here on out. We don't know what's going to happen, and we'll see. You know, we're like 10 minutes into this thing. So as far as, like, the sensation goes, you know, no, that's shipped. Evo 3D, I have a feeling it's shipped too. Whether we get an update to unlock it at some point, we'll see. So
I'm really, really thinking that the sensation in the 3D will get, you know, let's face it, new Android phones always need an OTA in the first month.
Right.
I'm an Android fan, but that's just the facts. Hopefully with that first one, they all get unlocked.
We'll see. One last thing I want to talk about real quick before we go is Google Wallet. So that was announced today in New York City. NFC, basically, it's what we all heard it was. So you will tie your credit card into your phone and be able to go up. It's being done through MasterCard and Citibank. So the Citi, you have the, was it MasterPass? What's it called?
Fast pass. Something pass.
I only see them here like in convenience stores. So you can, you know, turn on the app on your phone, walk up, touch the thing, and pay. Is that quicker than pulling out your wallet, swiping a credit card, and being on your way?
I don't know. I'm not concerned if it's quicker. I just think if they do it right, it can be safer.
Yeah. Now, and the way they are doing it is interesting, right? So Mickey and I were talking about our old Winmo days, and way back, you know, God, 5 years ago, I was using SPB Wallet, right? And you know they're kind of scratching their heads right now. And basically all it was you would type in your credit card number, and there it is stored on your phone. You couldn't do anything with it. It was just sitting there, so you had access to it and didn't have to reach in your pocket or if you know, lost your credit card, whatever. So this is a little different. This is you give it your credit card number, and it actually provisions the credit card number onto the device through a third-party service called First Data, which I think they said they handle something like 80% of things like this. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but Sony knew what they were doing too.
Ooh,
that's kind of scary.
Don't go there. Don't be that.
Well, I got to look at all sides, Phil. The security is my entire reason I like it and reason I'm a little bit afraid of it.
I don't know. But
it's called PayPass, by the way.
Yes, PayPass.
So, okay, but there's a lot of people that are concerned about, you know, because all you have to do is take your phone and basically tap it on the terminal and it'll, you know, process the payment. And, you know, is there going to be an issue where someone can, you know, bump into you or touch your phone, and they're going to be able to access your account, steal your money, and do all that. And I'm not overly concerned about this because I think it requires a little bit more user intervention than just getting close to the phone. And I think we're fine with that. You're also going to have to enter a PIN, right? Once you launch the application. So if someone steals your phone, you're not going to be able to just take it, enter, you know, and walk around and just start tapping things and getting free stuff. I mean. You know, there's going to be, there's a check in there. But it still is. There's still, you know, the electronic frontier and a little bit of, you know, apprehension on what this actually means. But honestly, I feel like with if you've got a device that's got a screen lock on it, and then you've got an application that requires a PIN, is that not safer than having a piece of plastic in your wallet that can be that you hand directly to somebody when you go out to dinner, that can then skim it on, you know, a $20 thing that you can buy from Radio Shack?
Right.
I mean, there are security issues inherent with this technology. There's no getting around that, but I still feel like this is a very solid solution to how we can use our mobile devices to make payments going forward.
Well, yeah, I agree. On the device for the end user, I think it's more secure than a credit card or a debit card in your wallet. I mean, half the places I go to use my credit card, nobody asks for a signature or a safety code or anything. They just scan it through the machine and hit OK. You know, that you can't do. I'm more worried about the infrastructure behind it if it takes off like we're all hoping it will be.
I had my wallet stolen 2 years ago, and I had a number of credit cards in there, and every single one was charged between $1,000 and $1,500 by the time I was able to cancel the cards. Fortunately, banks are good about this stuff, right? They understand if you have police reports and everything, then you're off the hook. But if that card would have required me to enter a PIN, if my wallet would have required me to, you know, swipe a pattern on the screen, they wouldn't have been able to get to the card. You see my analogy here. You see where I'm going with it. I understand people are going to be concerned about it, but you have to realize that, as Jerry just said, the credit card is, I mean, I can't imagine there's more than probably 25% of the people out there that have never had some sort of fraud happen to them. You know, I mean, it's so rampant now that something that provides multiple layers of security now, like electronic transactions like this, I am totally all for. Mm-hmm. I love that we're into this frontier now where it's going to require multiple steps that I only know to make a transaction happen rather than just a physical piece of plastic that can buy anything.
Well, I mean, no matter what, right?
I mean, right. Sure, of course it is. But I feel like the chances are much less now with something like this where you're having to take multiple steps to make this happen.
Well, and we all, everybody's saying, well, it won't amount to anything until it gets adopted more. You know, that's a little bit wearing the blinders, people. There's you go to Asia, or I know parts of Southern Africa. Yeah, I used to have to travel a lot for what I did for a living. People love NFC for reasons like this. On even their old dumb flip phones had NFC. So, I mean, the rest of the world wants to adopt this. It's just we're a little bit behind the times here in North America.
Practical matters. Right now, there's kind of only one NFC-capable phone here in the U.S. Sprint did kind of hint at others that are coming, including one from Motorola. And coincidentally, Motorola has an event next week. And next week, week after next. And we will be there, of course. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I guess I've got no doubt that more NFC-capable phones are coming, but damn, it's taken a while.
And, you know, the rest of the carriers have to get on board.
Yeah.
You know, I was a little bit disappointed when, you know, Google said that T-Mobile will have to, you know, sign up with, get with the program to let me use my Nexus S for their little mobile wallet deal. You know, and now I have to hope that T-Mobile says okay. You know, I'm glad for people with the Sprint version, but it's going to take a little bit of a meeting of the minds if we really want this to go forward.
I was a little concerned at first that they were only going to do the Citi MasterCards, but then they had an interesting little workaround. So you're also going to get a free like Google prepaid card, they're calling it. And basically, it almost works like PayPal, which I say that on purpose, because you can basically take funds from any other credit card and add it to this prepaid card and then use it through the NFC.
And that's the only way I'd want to use it. I mean, it's easier to keep track of things.
Yeah.
And then there is no more problem if you lose your phone. You don't have to worry, well, what if somebody can figure out my PIN? Or, you know, if you're a little bit paranoid, there's your answer. Just, you know, keep $100 on that prepaid card to buy lunch with and you're fine.
You know, it's unfortunate, too, with NFC, and we're talking about how this is, you know, it's still very brand new and we're going to be working our way into this here. you know, the ISIS program that we heard about last year that all the carriers were on board with has been abandoned. They announced about, what, three, 4 weeks ago that they're no longer part of, you know, they're disbanding this program here. And so, you know, or at least AT&T and T-Mobile have. And so we're probably not going to see anything like this. And I don't even feel like we gave it a chance. And I don't know what the rationale was for the disbanding other than, you know, they just decided they're going to do their own things with it, which I think is a mistake. I think they need the backing of the financial partners like Visa and MasterCard and, right. and Amex. And they have to figure out a way to make people comfortable with it. And I think the way to do that is to have those financial partners behind them. It's one thing to have a program that allows you to do something, but if you're not comfortable with it, if it's not something that you've done for a long time, like used an American Express card to make payments, you're probably not going to do it. You're going to go, I understand I can buy stuff with my Sprint phone through the, you know, Spallet. That's Sprint and Wallet together, right? But I'm not going to use Spallet because I don't trust it. I don't know what it means. I don't really get it. But, you know, if it's the Amex wallet, the Amex digital wallet, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I've got an Amex card that I can do that. So I wonder where they're going to go with that.
Right. I'd love to see, you know, I bank through Chase. I'd love to see Chase make an application that can tap into this system. You know, and you said American Express. That's, you know, hopefully that's the future. And if you don't want to use it, don't. Keep the plastic in your wallet. But everybody that likes to try new things, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
I like having the option. And we saw demos of people like buying, you know, soft drinks out of a vending machine with it. That's very cool.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I like the idea of that. I'm scared for humanity that you know, the how easy it's going to be to use these things. Credit cards are easy enough, right? It's so much harder to pay cash for something than it is a credit card, but then phones even less, cuz it's like another level of detachment. You know, it's like cash goes into the credit card and the credit card goes into the phone and the phone goes to the payment. What? It's like Monopoly money at that point.
Yeah, that means that I'm never going to be able to let my wife have a smartphone.
Oh.
Yeah, she won't listen.
She's not.
I know. Bottom line, I think it's a good thing. I like it.
I'm in a happy mood now. I'm watching all these tweets go by about bootloaders. People are happy.
Good. We all deserve to be happy every now and then.
I did my, Jerry, I don't know if you heard it, I did my half rant on bootloaders. I think people are going to send hate mail.
Yeah, I was listening and laughing with the microphone muted.
Appreciate it. Should we do a couple of voicemails and wrap this thing up maybe? On a good
Let's
note.
Shh. Works for me.
Actually, I think one of them's about bootloaders. All right, let's start with Jamie and hope his isn't about bootloaders.
Hey, this is Jamie. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. My question is on the whole issue with the Evo 3D bootloader being locked down and all that stuff. I already know you guys are going to cover it in the podcast, so I won't go too much into it. But I was eagerly awaiting this phone to come out, but now that I found out that the bootloader is locked down, I am a little hesitant to buy it now. The other option for me to upgrade to is the Samsung Galaxy S2, which seems like a nice phone, but I have my concerns about it because the original Galaxy S, I mean, there was the GPS issue with it, there was the delay in getting Foyer to it, all that stuff. With the 3D, I could still get it. I mean, I like Sense. They're good phones. I can live without rooting it completely, but with the Samsung, I know I'm going to root it as soon as I get it because I can't stand their launcher and their interface that they have going with it. So what do you guys think? I mean, weighing those options, what would you, which phone would you recommend at this point? Where do you think this is going to go from here? Thank you.
I think we can almost kind of ignore the bootloader part of that because, again, I would not expect any current phone, and I will consider the Evo 3D to be a current phone, to have an unlocked bootloader, you know, when it launches. If it gets one, great. But we'll just have to wait and see. But, I mean, ignoring that, Jerry, what do you think? Evo 3D or Samsung Galaxy S2?
Oh, that's going to be personal preference. I assume that he's a Sprint customer because, you know, he's considering the Evo 3D. I would have to say wait and see what Sprint comes up with from Samsung and, you know, try them both in the store, bring the one home that you like the most and take 30 days and see how much you like it. It's really personal. As far as unlocked and all that stuff, hey, and I heard you while I had the mic muted. If that's what you're interested in, buy a dev phone. That's the smartest thing I've ever heard on the internet. Yeah. You know,
Wait. Repeat yourself.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard on the internet.
Thank you.
And I understand I'm going to get hate mail now from people with Verizon. You need to let Verizon know how much you would be very interested in purchasing the next development phone with Verizon service. That's the right way to fix it. Okay. That's the way to fix it. You can't, you know, cussing and carrying on in forums and chat rooms isn't going to fix it. But you know, if you're going to buy a phone and strip it down and make it run, you know, like stock Android, you know, then just buy the next stock Android phone. Look at the phones you have there and decide which one works best for you. You know, if you don't like TouchWiz, yank it off there and put Launcher Pro on it or whatever. You know, look at the screen, look at the hardware. Software is easy to change.
Yeah. That's my answer for that as well. And now we have Daryl.
Hello, my name is Daryl Roberts. I really wanted to touch on the HSPA Plus and, well, will it be considered 4G once they upgrade to the LTE advanced speeds? And I had a second question involving the AT&T T-Mobile Senate hearing. And I was wondering why AT&T only touched on how they're going to reach more people. And when opposition to it came up, they talked about the duopoly and how about it wouldn't go about helping customers out, raising prices and so forth, and why AT&T didn't touch on that. Thanks.
I think they probably rejected the premise. Yeah, they're not going to refute
that comment. They reject that comment and they insert their own, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just basic kind of strategy in these things, you know. If Jerry says I'm too skinny, I'm not going to agree with him and then say why. Right.
Right.
And
right.
Jerry's not going to ever say I'm too skinny. So we don't have to worry about that.
You're perfectly healthy, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a sticky thing. And I don't think many of us really understand everything that goes into it. And I'm not going to let Mickey explain it to me tonight at the end of the podcast.
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question, though. And somebody else posed that today. I forget where. But, you know, once AT&T launches LTE, what does that make HSPA Plus? Is that like LTE Lite or 4G Lite or I don't know.
They should just call it, you know, slow, medium, and fast. That way it would be less confusing.
Well, the problem is we know what they're going to call it. They're going to call it all 4G. It's right. You know, it's a 4G network when it's HSPA Plus. It's a 4G network when it's LTE. We heard they're going to launch. Sorry, yeah. I'll stop.
No, not because of you. Just AT&T.
Should we talk more about beer? I can talk more about beer. All right.
In the chat room, they said, why is there no standard definition? There used to be a standard definition for 4G.
Kind of. And yeah.
Well, standard for us normal people.
Yeah.
You know, they gave us a speed.
But nobody was going to hit it.
Yeah, nothing was going to meet it for years. So they changed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they purposefully made it vague so that we're at the point right now where, I mean, let me read it to you again. Although it is recognized that this term, i.e. 4G, is undefined, it may be applied to the forerunners in the technologies of LTE and WiMAX and to other evolved 3G technologies providing substantial level of improvement in performance and capabilities with respect to the initial third generation systems now deployed. You know what that means? It means anybody can call anything 4G that's over what it was like a year ago. You know, it's so vague that 4G has turned the G's have turned from actually meaningful to completely useless, and they'll do whatever they have to do to sell phones, and calling phones 4G right now is what it is.
Did you see Sasha Sagan's review of the Droid X2?
No.
No, so he tweeted out today, like this sentence, it's missing something.
That's right, I did see that, yeah.
That was brilliant.
Except it's missing something.
Missing a couple G's. It was brilliant. I love Sasha.
Well, Mickey, real quick before Phil steers us away, but are they going to continue the advancement, you know, in regular GSM 3G technology? Because can't that theoretically hit 128 megabits per second?
I thought it was 84.
Outlandishly high.
It is.
Because
yeah.
I like that battery life, man. I like that battery life.
So they could, but the problem, I mean, they could, but see, they could take, you know, CDMA, you know, has got a lot of, you know, forward progress in front of it as well. You've got Rev-B and even Rev-C that no one ever talks about is out there. I mean, Qualcomm has been working on Rev-C stuff for the last couple of years as well for, you know, just for the sake of development work. But what you're not considering is not just the speeds, but how is capacity changing? And what other factors are going into that? So here's the deal. There's a couple of things that go into LTE. You have two different types of LTE. You've got time division LTE, which is TD-LTE. And then you've got, what's the other one called? FDD-LTE. And I can't remember what the FDD stands for. But so you've got these two different types of LTE that will bring a lot of different things, not only the download speeds, of course, that you can have great capacities in how fast they can go. But you're also now talking about more bandwidth, because LTE takes additional bandwidth to run the technology. The latency is a very, very much reduced. You've got larger cell size. I mean, we're talking, you know, 50 plus miles an LTE tower can cover. Now, how many people that can cover is a totally different thing. But mm-hmm. compared to today's cellular technologies, LTE can give us a much longer or, you know, further range in one particular cell site. We're talking about additional compatibilities and, of course, the capacity. Capacity is a huge issue. And so there's a lot of these, there's a lot of factors that go into it other than just the speed. And that's why they're looking at a next generation. You know, you get to a point. Think of it like a car. When you buy a car and you're running a car, and you know, let's say that car has got 100,000 miles on it, and you know, you can do some things. You can make some tweaks to it and stuff, and you can still get it to run and run well for the next 100,000 miles. But instead, you want to make a significant generational leap in what you're going to do. And so you buy a brand new car, which now has power doors and power windows and cruise control. And so think of all those little features of a car when you buy something new versus something old. And that's compare that, you know, push that onto a cellular network. And that's what's happening. A lot of this stuff behind the scenes that makes the experience that much better for the customer that's using the network. And battery life is an issue right now. We're still in the infancy of how these things are running. But it's going to come. You know, we're also going to see our voice calls pushed over the LTE network at some point as well. And I think we can expect a lot of great things from that too, because voice is very, very low bandwidth intensive. And mm-hmm. I think we're going to see some pretty neat things with LTE. And then, so there, it's more than just the speed, but yes, absolutely. They could run that thing out and, look, that's what T-Mobile's doing, right? 42 megabit per second. They just announced this week in this, you know, how many cities? 55 cities or something like that?
Yeah, and something like that.
It's crazy speeds, right? But that's theoretical. That's not real world. And, you know, I still got to go with, I'm from my use and what I've tried, man, LTE is nice. I like it a lot.
So was that a yes? Do you think they will or no?
Is there a question? I don't remember.
I mean, do you think they will?
Do I think they will
continue, you know, to work on 3G technology?
I think what we're seeing right now are some of the golden years of the HSPA technologies. Okay. I think we're going to see it in certain parts of the world, going to continue on, just like we've seen Edge continue on in certain parts mm-hmm. of the world. You know, I mean, we have seen 3G technologies out now for almost a decade, believe it or not. And so it's not that we've just are now, although in Phil's case, 3G just came to Pensacola and T-Mobile, but yeah, 10 years after the technology is actually released. So the lifespan of these things actually goes a long time. And, you know, 2G is going to be around for a while here. They'll eventually phase it out. Funny story. One of my coworkers has got an Edge only BlackBerry and took it to Japan. And so I set him up on the international plan and I said, oh, you've got a BlackBerry. No big deal. You'll be able to, you know, use the thing all you want on the data side and you'll never hit your 20 megabytes of data that you have. Well, he gets over to Japan and guess what? Japan turned off 2G like a year ago.
Ooh.
So he had zero service with an Edge device over in Japan, even in the major cities. So, there are parts of the world that have taken and, you know, jumped on to, you know, moving on to different technologies and, you know, started to sunset some of these older ones. But here in the U.S., we still have some time. And, T-Mobile is one of those providers. They didn't pick up 3G until I think 2006. And look at them now. They're taking the technology and they're really getting their money's worth out of it. So yeah. I think they will continue on with it. I think AT&T has got a really, they have upgraded their equipment because it's been easy for them, because it's easy to do on just the software side, pushing it out. It's the backhaul side where they've got the issue. You know, enhanced backhaul for those of you playing, you know, 4G bingo out there. I think that they're in the process of just trying to do the marketing that they need to do, to get them through to the LTE stage.
Okay. Just wondering. I mean, I have to think about everybody in rural America because I kind of am rural America.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll have the 3G speeds and you'll have the HSPA plus technology there. Well, again, but you're talking about T-Mobile's network. Who knows what happens?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's demolished. It's cut up, sliced and diced. You'll never see an AWS 1700 megahertz 3G signal again. Anyway,
that, boys and girls, I think we're going to wrap it up. Mickey, wrap it up without mentioning LTE.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can visit us at androidcentral.com, of course, but you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222 and tell us that you want to leave a message for the Android Central show. If you'd like to follow us, you can hit us up on Twitter at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ underscore Mickey. Jerry is at GB Hill. Corey is at C Streeter. And all the other writers can be found over at Android Central. The entire site and show brought to you by the Android Central store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also place your order by calling 888-468-6158, and guess what? That extended Thunderbolt battery is back in stock.
Oh my god, yeah, it is.
Working good, ain't they, Phil?
I couldn't use this phone without it, and I really don't mean to say that just because we're selling them. Like,
you got... Well, no, I mean, yeah, I understand. It's a trade-off.
Yeah.
If you want those kind of speeds right now, the only way you're going to get them is to use that battery.
Yep. Hope we're not saying that 2 years from now. That, boys and girls, is it. A very interesting, rant-filled, exciting podcast. I'm going to have to edit the hell out of this to keep myself from just find my head on a spike in the morning or something. I don't know. So, HTC will no longer be unlocking bootloaders in the future. Don't know about now. We'll find out. It's a big deal.
Wait, you're going to have to edit that. They will no longer be locking.
Locking bootloaders.
Damn it. Yes.
That's hate mail in a bucket right there.
HTC will no longer be locking bootloaders. Let's just try that again. HTC will no longer be locking bootloaders. And I'm a little beside myself about that, I guess. Nerds, everybody, open your windows. Open your windows and listen to the nerd shouts going on right now. People are rioting in the streets. So that's it. Mickey, Jerry, thank you, guys. Remember, no podcast next week. We will be on the road at our live event in New York City, with or without lock bootloaders.
and I'll be watching over your little camera dealy if we can get that figured out.
If I can get that working, we'll see. So that's it, everybody. Mickey, Jerry, thank you. We'll see everybody when we see you.
Thank you, Phil.
Have a good night.